You're welcome back to the Special Budget 2025 programme. Just a few headlines for you if you're just joining us this afternoon. The rent tax credit is going up by €250. The Help to Buy scheme is being extended to the end of 2029. The lower VAT rate on gas and electricity will stay for another 6 months. Mortgage interest relief is being extended for another year. The price of a packet of cigarettes is going up by €1 to just over €18. The price of disposable vapes is also going up by more than €1, and the carbon tax will go up as flagged from next week. We're going to get some political reaction next, and joining us from Leinster House is Richard Boyd-Barrett of People Before Profit Solidarity. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Is it hard to oppose this budget when it does contain something for many people?
Well, not so much opposing it as the government had and has unprecedented resources at its disposal. But what we've really got is a splurge of once-off measures, which no doubt people would be glad to get into their pocket before Christmas to buy an election. But they'd be back to square one next year, in reality. And the big problems won't be solved despite all this money that the government has available. I mean, you look at housing, the most obvious one, the targets for social and affordable housing delivery next year are exactly the same as they were previously. And this is despite the fact that the Housing Commission has told us we need to double the output of social and affordable housing. The government's proposed delivery next year is exactly the same as it was last year.
And yet I'm looking at the figures here, and Pascal Donoghue was saying, I'm providing over €7.8 billion to the department for a string of measures, including, and then he goes through six or seven different measures, which he says will make a difference.
Yeah, but look at the figures. He announced the figure. He said 10,000 social houses new build next year. That's exactly the same as last year. It's no change from the Housing for All targets, which are about half of what the Housing Commission says we need. So there's no increase whatsoever, despite all these billions that are available. And in fact, the vast bulk, it's now clear, the vast bulk of the addition, the budget surplus, the unprecedented budget surplus, and the Apple money is actually going into these savings funds, the future funds, rather than being allocated to ramp up the housing delivery. The same is going with the health service. I think, I mean, at the moment, we've discovered that actually there is a staff embargo being imposed across the health services with understaffed, unsafe staffing levels in our hospitals. And I think when you look closely at the figures, we won't see anything that will address that problem.
Again, it was flagged, though, that there will be additional money for health. So in one way, don't we have to wait and see what comes later in the day when we get the nitty-gritty of this?
We do indeed. But what they have done is they've kept it essentially for financial gimmickry to get around their spending rules. They have kept the figure low last year. Now they may be more fully willing to acknowledge how much they need to put in just to maintain existing levels of service. But the problem is the existing levels of service are completely inadequate. I mean, there's going to be protests by health workers this Thursday because of unsafe staffing levels across the health service and the imposition of what's called a pay and numbers embargo, essentially, on staff recruitment, which is desperately needed across our health service. And the other thing just to comment on, by the way, is that if you look at the tax breaks, people on 115, 120, 130,000 euro are actually getting considerably more in the tax breaks than people, for example, on the minimum wage.
Is that because it's the 4% rate of USC that's being brought down?
Well, I'm just looking at the government's own document in terms of what the annual gain will be. So if you're, for example, on 127,000 euro a year, you're going to get 2,000 extra, whereas if you're on minimum wage, you're getting about 1,400 extra. So people at the higher end of the income scale are benefiting very considerably more than the very, very low paid. There should have been a lot more done for low paid workers.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now, but thank you very much for joining us. Also joining us is Jed Nash, who's Labour's finance spokesperson. Jed Nash, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Are there any measures announced this afternoon that you would welcome?
Well, with all of this money available to government, there are certainly some measures that we would obviously support. It would be impossible for them to get it wrong all of the time, but unfortunately they've been getting too much wrong over the last few years. probably the most abused term in Irish politics is the term once-off. We now have routine annual measures that really take the bare look off addressing the kind of structural inequalities that we need to deal with in this country. I mean,
presumably, for example, the point the government would make in relation to that is that they're announcing these measures now because we've been going through a cost of living crisis. Maybe in a year or two, they won't be needed.
Well, they can make a decision either to introduce the kinds of structural reforms that the Labour Party has been arguing for years. This government, and we support the idea that, for example, if somebody has a wage increase, that not all of that wage increase should go back to the Exchequer in terms of personal income taxes. But the case could also be made then from the point of view of equity that we should have a form of indexation as well in our social protection system. The reality is that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have presided over a situation over the last few years as a result of the rising price, the rising inflation, where the pension carers' payments and other core social welfare benefits, weekly benefits, have in fact lost their purchasing power. And that is why the government are spending a dizzying amount of money on, for example, 10 lump sum payments that conveniently will drop into people's bank accounts around about the time we'll be knocking doors in the context of an impending election. So the reality is that this is a government that is still, regardless of the largesse we have, still presiding over a very rich country, objectively a very rich country, that is unfortunately very, very poor for far too many people. And I say it's poor as well from the point of view of public infrastructure. Next year, we will not be spending anywhere near, for example, what the state was spending in 2008 when the population
again,
was much
though,
smaller.
Listening to, as we were saying, you know, we got about an hour and a half worth of speeches, and there was a lot of talk about infrastructure. Now, I take the point you're making that a lot of this was put on the long finger, and we're told we'll get more details next year. But would you welcome the fact that there were kind of the early stages of some plans there?
Well, I think this government's sin has been that they didn't invest during a boom. And that's the reality. And we are paying the price of that now. We've had about 10 years of uninterrupted growth. And we have a very rich country with extremely poor and patchy public services and an obvious housing crisis that is holding this country back. For once in our history, it is not the availability of money that is stopping this country from developing. It is ideology, and that needs to change. And frankly, given Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil's performance over the last few years, I have no confidence that this Conservative coalition can make the changes that we need to ensure that we house our people, that we have a just transition, that we actually invest, for example, in the renewable energy that we need, Ireland's moonshot moment to create the sustainable jobs we need, and to bring down energy prices. And I think that should be the battleground of the next election.
Who is best prepared to invest responsibly
in developing a sustainable economic model and a social model in this country? And it's not Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil left alone.
I'm being told I have to let you go, that you're due on your feet in the Dáil in a few minutes. So, Jed Nash of Labour, thank you very much for joining us. Next, we're going to go to our Limerick studio, from where we're joined by Una Burns. She's Director of Advocacy with the housing body Novas. Una, I know we've spoken to you in the past about various issues related to housing. As I was saying a few moments ago here, it does always take a wee bit of time to digest these announcements. But what's your initial response to what you heard this afternoon?
Morning or afternoon. I think the biggest disappointment of the budget is the static housing targets. So one of the main focuses of our pre-budget submission and of pre-budget submissions across the housing and homeless sector was a revision of housing targets in line with the Housing Commission report and the more recent DRSI report, looking at maybe about 16 to 17,000 units being built per year to meet that pent-up demand and that development deficit over the last decade. And it seems that the targets of 10,000 and the 2 billion euro capital, annual capital budget for that, which was just a million more than last year, is a bit disappointing. Obviously, there's lots of really positive parts of the budget in terms of, the higher rate of stamp duty for bulk acquisitions and the increasing of the vacant homes tax from 5 to 7 times the local property tax. And there's other small incentives, but the real big big thing that we really wanted to see, because of the levels of homelessness and the levels of people that are hidden homelessness living at home with their parents, was increased social and affordable and cost rental
housing. And had you hoped for movement on those targets today?
Yeah, we had hoped for movement on the targets and an increase in the capital budget to reflect that move on targets. We felt like that was, would indicate the urgency and the importance of the issue for the government. And even if those targets were moved significantly today, it's probably going to be 2027, 2028 before we'd actually see the implications of them. So we're just moving a further down the road. So I think that's probably the biggest disappointment, notwithstanding other positive elements of the budget announced today.
Una, thank you very much for talking to us. Una Burns there of Novas. She's in our Limerick studio. Joining us on the line is Danny McCoy, who's the chief executive of the Business and Employers Group, IBEC. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Despite speculation over the past day or two, no reduction in the VAT rate for the hospitality industry. Does that disappoint you?
I was disappointed that the rate actually originally went up from 9 to 13.5%. We wanted it to be maintained at 9%, but look, the mood music in the last couple of weeks, it was clear they weren't going to move on that today. But it is important that businesses, there is acknowledgement that the cost being put onto businesses, particularly SMEs, have been way too high. And we'd like to see some more ambition from the government in acknowledging that. Some of what's happened today is certainly going the right direction. But I think it is crucial, and this is really more important, that the incredible contribution, the kind of, you know, monsoon of money today in the surpluses is actually contribution from business. It's corporation tax that's giving us this moment of the scale of the expenditure. Corporation tax this year alone
will be 40 billion. But of course, we also note that the bulk of that corporation tax is coming from a relatively small number of firms.
Absolutely. Who needs the business ecosystem here in terms of the cleaning, the security, the hospitality for their workers in terms of housing? And so it's really important that's acknowledged, because it just gets, you know, it's eaten bread, soon forgotten. But it's actually the business community that's delivered these huge surpluses. There can be no doubt about that.
What do you think should have been there but wasn't?
Well, I think that the PRSI system was probably a better way to address more of the SMEs in Ireland who are outside of the hospitality and restaurant sectors, because it's not just in those areas. They may be more high profile in terms of on the street, but it's a small business that are having to take all these additional costs more generally. And a much fairer way is that, given that most of those costs are coming on the wage bill, that we'd address a taxation system that relates to the wage bill, which is the employer PRSI. And I think that would be a much better way to go, given where we've ended up this year, particularly with the loading of the costs. By the government's own admission, it had allowed those costs to accumulate at one time to be significant. But look, the main thing is that the largesse that we have, particularly from the Apple tax and from the AIB shares and so on, are correctly being redirected at the infrastructure that we need.
Given some of the controversies we've seen over the past couple of weeks, including the Children's Hospital, I'm not just talking about the bike shed and the security hut, do you have your doubts that the money will be spent well?
Well, the first thing is that we have the money to be able to do it. The important thing is the effectiveness. Like, the true cost of the Children's Hospital in time will be the delay in actually having that Children's Hospital open. Effectiveness is as crucial now as efficiency. At a time when we have the money, we certainly want it to be efficient. But one of the biggest scandals is how long it's taken to get that Children's Hospital open.
All right.
And that's the true cost to society. What doesn't it actually get delivered, as opposed to the cost? The cost, of course, should be constrained. But that kind of logic that we can't trust them to spend the money would mean we'll have no infrastructure and we will lose our competitors very dramatically.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for taking our call this afternoon with that initial reaction. Danny McCoy there, the chief executive of IBEC, will have further reaction on this extended news at 1 after this break.